Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 6. In verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You could also say out of the abundance of the heart, the mind considers, awareness is interpreted, the volition chooses, emotions respond, the identity, the self-image is established. It's all really the same as the mouth speaks. It all depends on the treasure that's in the heart. Now, some people really do have a beautiful treasure in their heart. They have the Word of God as their frame of reference. And then there's some people who do not have much of a treasure, and they have self-orientation as their frame of reference. By the way, those are the only two possible frames of reference. I will either have the Word of God as my frame of reference, that's what the heart is speaking of, or I will have self-orientation as my frame of reference. There is no other frame of reference to be had. It's one or the other. It was a tree of knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life. None of the other trees, albeit they were lawful, albeit they were permitted, only those two trees had life-altering consequences. Really, humanity-altering consequences. There were only the two trees, a tree of life or a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the rest of the trees were fruit trees. Yes, they did represent angels in the garden. They were real trees, and they were used for food. But those two trees were much more than edible. Those two trees had real impact, a tree of life or a tree of knowledge of good and evil. The post-garden tree of life is the cross. The tree of knowledge of good and evil still exists in principle. It always has existed. It came into existence when iniquity was found in Lucifer's heart. In Ezekiel 28:15, the Word of God says about Lucifer, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you." In verse 17, the definition of that iniquity: "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor." Well, in Habakkuk 2:4, the soul that is lifted up is not upright in him. The proud soul is not right with God. The uplifted heart is not right with God. An uplifted heart is self-orientation. That's the definition of it. And so there are two frames of reference. There is the frame of reference that comes from the tree of life, which is the Word of God, the love of God, which is given to us by the Word of God. And then there's self-orientation. In Hebrews 12:14, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up may cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." Pursue after peace with all people and holiness. Now, holiness for a human being is not the same as holiness for God. Holiness from God is freedom from corruption. Actually, it's freedom from corruption from humans too, but a human cannot be freed from corruption with an old sin nature. Every human possesses that corruption that is the old sin nature. It's in our physical body. It's in our genetics. So holiness has a different application for us than it does from God. In God's case, yes, there is nothing corrupt in God or in the holy angels. That's why their standard is holiness in Revelation 4:8. Our standard, on the other hand, is grace. When it says pursue peace with all people and holiness, holiness in both cases, in its root, is not simply purity or a lack of corruption, but that which allows for a lack of corruption, that which is the foundation for the uncorruptible. And that's the love of God. So when Paul is saying here, pursue after holiness, he's saying pursue after the love of God. Lucifer did not understand holiness. That's why he had his five I wills in Isaiah 14:13-14. He did not understand holiness. That's why he rebelled against God. Yes, he was self-oriented. Yes, he was puffed up. Yes, he started comparing himself. But he actually could have taken a step back if he had understood holiness. Holiness was not in the perfection of God. Holiness is in the love of God. How do we know this? God is holy, but God is love. Then it says, looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. The grace of God is the government of God. If I respond to the government of God, I will apply the grace of God, because grace is that government. That's Hebrews 4:16. And since grace is a government, it will bring me into the other aspects of grace, which is unyielding kindness in Ephesians 2:7 and unmerited favor in Ephesians 2:8. It's a gift. It's not earned. It's a gift. So once that government is present, it's present because it takes over my thinking. It comes when I live in faith. I mix faith with what I hear in Hebrews 4:2. But when I receive the Word of God, it becomes my frame of reference. And I start to think with it, and that is the root of faith. When I think in faith, in Romans 5:2, it will bring me into grace. I don't have to try to enter into grace when I think in faith. When I have God's Word as the source of my thinking, that is, in its basic form, faith. I think with the Word of God. When I think with the Word of God, I don't have to try to enter into grace. Proper thinking is grace. That's why it's so important to stay properly built up in the Word of God, properly related to the heart of God, because proper thinking is grace. Proper thinking will become the government that is grace. Proper thinking is thinking with the Word of God. Any thinking outside of thinking with the Word of God is not grace, and it's not proper thinking. But when there is proper thinking, it will bring me into grace. Grace is governmental. Grace is an expression of immense kindness from God. And grace is given freely. But I have to be able to receive it. It's given to me, but not everything that is given to me is something that I can receive. When I have that proper thinking, I will automatically receive grace because my thoughts are right. They are the thoughts of God. If I step outside of grace, if I don't have the proper thoughts, God's thoughts to my situations, in my relationships, what have you, then a root of bitterness will be established in my heart. That root of bitterness is kakos evil. We talked about this a little bit on Friday. is kakos evil. Kakos evil is intrinsic evil. It is when I think evil. I don't think with God, I'm necessarily going to think evil. A root of bitterness is a result of kakos evil. Now, the fact that kakos evil is present doesn't make the individual evil per se. Where there is kakos evil, a person can still step back. But once that kakos evil becomes something more, once it becomes paneros, I've gone to a whole nother level. In Matthew 15:18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Those are the ones that make him unclean, unholy. Those are the ones that are outside of love. Iniquity is evil thinking, by definition. A root of bitterness is the result of iniquity. Evil thinking is not necessarily, although very often it is, but not necessarily, it doesn't have to be wicked thinking. Evil thinking is thinking from a different government, not a government of grace. The Matthew 7:22-23 people who were lost, who were not saved, yet they did many wonderful works in the name of God. Their evil thinking was not wicked thinking. Their evil thinking was from self-orientation. They were workers of iniquity. It was from self-orientation. Thinking in self-orientation is thinking with a different government, not God's government, but a government, the only other one that exists, of Satan. Satan works together with my old sin nature. Self-orientation is part and parcel with my old sin nature. It's the doorway into the old sin nature. So how do I enter the old sin nature? I enter it through self-orientation. Then I have evil. Then I have iniquity. And then I have a root of bitterness. When the root of bitterness is present, it can be intrinsic, but if it remains long enough, it'll start to infect. It has to be checked. It doesn't necessarily have to infect, but it will infect if it's never dealt with. Kakos evil will become paneros evil. Paneros evil is when you have this negativity in your heart, and now you start to speak it. And other people become defiled by it. That's why James 4:11 says you never receive an evil report. Because the evil report is not there to report on somebody else. The evil report is there to defile you. So you never receive an evil report. If you receive it, you become defiled. You become unclean, unholy. So you never receive evil reports. Kakos, unchecked, leads to paneros. Prior to paneros, when it's still kakos, it is reversible. But once it becomes paneros, you really can't reverse it. Because even though the individual themselves may get right, the effects will spread beyond them, and the defilement continues. King Ahab was an example of this. King Ahab was an incredibly evil king. Arguably the most evil king that ever existed, not just in Israel, but anywhere. And because of Ahab, God decided this was the time to really pour out some nasty stuff on Israel to discipline Ahab and Israel for following after Ahab. Ahab initiated things that were absolutely wicked. His policies were wicked. He was wicked. Israel was wicked because of him. And God said, enough is enough. And God was going to pour out some severe judgment on Israel because of Ahab. And he was going to deal harshly with Ahab himself. But then Ahab humbled himself and he got right with God. And God said, see how Ahab humbles himself before me. And he said, because Ahab has humbled himself before me, got right with God, then the things that I had planned for him, he will not see them. His sons will see them. So Ahab got out of the kakos, which led to Poneros, the intrinsic evil which became infectious, infected the whole country, infected his children. But yet when he dealt with the kakos, God had mercy on him, wouldn't let him see the results of the evil that he initiated, but the results were going to happen. The effect was present. The evil did spread, although Ahab would not experience the judgment. The rest of Israel would. Once kakos becomes poneros, you can't put it back in the bag. But kakos in itself is reversible. Poneros, that takes a whole lot more to fix poneros. Now, what happens when a person goes into iniquity? Iniquity, in its essence, is kakos evil, intrinsic evil. Self-orientation. Now, evil is a government. In Psalm 94:20, the government of Satan is a throne of iniquity. Iniquity is what establishes Satan's government over a person. Self-orientation and all the stuff that comes with self-orientation, all the stuff that proceeds from it. So self-orientation and everything that proceeds from it is iniquity. What happens when iniquity is present? Frankly, we see it all around us today more than we've ever seen it in history. We are living in an age where there's perilous times in large measure because justice and righteousness and truth are fallen in the street and forsaken. It says in Romans 1:22, this is what happens through iniquity. Professing to be wise, they become fools. Now, in Genesis 3:5, Satan lied to Eve. By the way, he lies to everybody. And he said to her, if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then your eyes will be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. Gods, small g, referring to angels. Not capital G like the King James has it. The word is Elohim. Sometimes refers to the Trinity, usually refers to the angels. So Eve knew the angels. In Ezekiel 31, the trees were representative of angels. Each angel had a tree in the garden. And he said to her, Eve, you can become like the angels. This is a form of wisdom she craved. She revealed it to him in the conversation prior where she said to him, we shall not eat of it or touch it, referring to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God never said touches, but an angel, a holy angel, would never touch that tree. That's why Satan knew that she wanted to be as the angels. And he used it against her. He promised her a form of wisdom. In iniquity, people think they enter into a form of wisdom because it's about them. It's self-orientation. But professing to be wise, they become fools. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. They don't think God is any more than man at that point. That's their justification for self-orientation. God can't do that for me. God won't do that for me. God said it, but he doesn't really mean it. You can't really rely on God. They think God is a man. God is nothing like a man. Isaiah 55:8-9. God is nothing like a man. They change the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. How did it start? Iniquity. They didn't have the right frame of reference. Self became their frame of reference. That's the starting point. Now God is giving them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. This trans movement nowadays, where's that coming from? First of all, psychologists tell us that's actually delusion. It's a mental illness. It's delusion. Delusion that's treatable. But psychologists warn us that we're normalizing mental illness. We're normalizing delusional thinking. Anybody with a lick of sense can understand why a guy who thinks he's a girl or a girl thinks she's a guy, that's delusion. That's not reality. And psychologists tell us that's treatable. Gender dysphoria is treatable. But God gives them up to uncleanness. Why? Self-orientation. That's where it started. In the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Have we seen this nowadays? And worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. You know what? We love these people, but we're going to call their sin, sin. Just like adultery is sin, just like drug abuse is sin, just like all forms of sexual activity apart from marriage is sin. I don't care what you think of it. That's what the Bible calls it. We're going to call their sin, sin. Now, we don't hate sinners. We go after them to reach them with the love of God. But don't tell me it's normal. Don't tell me it's not sin. The Bible says very clearly it is. It's not right with him. He won't tolerate it. He'll love the person. He'll save the person. He'll forgive the person. He'll try to reach the person. But he still calls it sin. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Delusions. To do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Woke culture. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now, by saying this, we're not saying we're promoting that somebody should be violent against them. But in the days that this was written, the death penalty was implemented. We should be thankful that we're living in different days. Not only do the same, but have pleasure, that is to say, hearty approval, in those who practice them. This is the result of iniquity. This is where iniquity leads us. Iniquity will bring people into the most vile things. It doesn't go there at first. At first, they simply become fools. That is to say, at first, they stop skillfully applying the Word of God to their lives and the various details and situations of their lives. That's where it starts. But there's a progression in iniquity. And that progression leads to all sorts of wicked things. Murder is the result of things like iniquity. Envy is iniquity. Immorality is iniquity. Homosexuality is iniquity. Adultery is iniquity. All these things, maliciousness is iniquity. Backbiting, speaking about people evil behind their backs. Notice people never say good things behind people's backs too often. Christians do. I know a lot of Christians who build people up behind their backs. But you get into an office setting, notice the gossip is always negative. Why is that? Thinking evil. There's a whole psychology behind that. People love negativity. The old sin nature loves negativity. If you speak about somebody behind their back, make sure the words aren't negative but edifying. And if they're negative, then understand that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But if somebody's speaking about somebody and they want to accuse of something wicked, that's the result of iniquity. If you're talking about somebody and that person is not present, make sure you're saying positive things about them. Have you heard about Bob? Bob really came through last week. Bob did these amazing things. Bob is such a kind person, such a good guy. Bob, nobody like Bob. Bob really is just a wonderful person to be around. When's the last time you heard gossip like that? It's iniquity. If you're going to gossip, speak about somebody behind their back, let that be the conversation. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, of good report, let that be your conversation. Whatever is according to truth, the Word of God, let that be your conversation. Anything else, get away from it. Why? It'll defile you. That's why there are certain things God said should not even be named among us, because they defile us. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in truth. Love takes no pleasure and finds absolutely no joy in self-orientation and the things that proceed from it. You see, self-orientation is not merely a negative characteristic. Self-orientation is a source. And that makes it dangerous. Because all the things that we read about, starting in Romans 1:22, all the way to verse 32, those are what emanates from self-orientation. Love takes no pleasure in that. People who are into that eventually get to the place where they not only take pleasure in it, but they also take pleasure in those who do it. We see that nowadays. The teachers' unions don't know what in the world is in their minds. Not against teachers. I'm not crazy about their union. Why in the world are they promoting six-year-old children, little six-year-old girls, little six-year-old boys being told that they're not a little girl or they're not a little boy, that they're the opposite of what they are? You see, they approve. They take delight. They have pleasure in iniquity. The destruction is amazing. There's a new toy company I recently heard about. They're trying to make their little boy and girl dolls gender neutral. Well, what planet is that on? Show me anything on earth that is gender neutral. I have dogs. I've had male dogs. I've had female dogs. I've never had an it dog. Even animals, even plants, insects. Show me anything, fish. Show me anything that's gender neutral. Gender neutral doesn't exist. It is a concept within a deluded mind. It is iniquity. And so we don't promote this. We don't take pleasure in this. We don't hate the people. We recognize that they are lost. We recognize their need for Christ. We recognize that they are thinking apart from the Word of God, which necessarily means they are thinking in iniquity. And therefore, we recognize that they need the Word of God so they can be delivered from that iniquity. Because as so many of them who actually have entered into this trans thing and then, as they say, detransitioned, will tell you, it is a horrifyingly horrible place to be. Especially those kids who are convinced to mutilate themselves. And now you have states who are trying to say, well, it's legal for a minor to get gender-transforming surgery without the permission of their parents. How demented is that? Those children don't have the capacity. I don't care if they are 15 or 16. They don't have the capacity for life decisions. They have no experience. What is that? Iniquity. Love takes no pleasure in iniquity. Love takes pleasure from truth. With love, iniquity is not a source of joy or pleasure. With love, truth is the source of joy and pleasure. Truth is where our joy, our pleasure, our satisfaction, our contentment, it's found in truth. Truth is where we escape things like roots of bitterness, delusional thinking. Truth is where we escape things like ungodliness. Truth is where we escape all the corruption of the world. God came to give truth. Satan tries to initiate iniquity. Pleasure is not found in iniquity. Because love is not found in iniquity. By pleasure, I don't mean physical pleasure even. I mean genuine joy in the heart. When I'm about self, I can't have joy. It's not possible. I'm not the source of joy. And so these people who are deeply into iniquity, you'll see things like alcohol problems or drug problems and even higher rates of suicide than you see among other groups. Why? There's no love there. There's no joy there. It becomes a place of despair. But love is the source of our joy. Those things which promote the love of God, those things which reflect the love of God, those things which reflect the truth of God, the Word of God, which brings us to the love of God, the character of God, those things produce joy. And that's where we find our pleasure. In John 14:16, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In Romans 5:8, we've been made to be one with the love of God. Therefore, we're made to be one with truth. In Romans 8:29, conforming us to the image of Christ is conforming us into the image of truth. He is the truth. And that, in John 17:17, requires the Word. My pleasure as a believer, as the beloved of God, can only be found in the Word of God. If I don't have the Word of God, I will necessarily have iniquity. My frame of reference will either be the Word of God and I'll think with the Word of God, which is faith, or it will be self-orientation and I'll think with self-orientation, which is iniquity. Faith is better. Love is better. The Word of God is better. Those precious believers who for some reason are not experiencing the joy of God, I will guarantee you that they are not properly oriented to the Word of God, but they are in some way oriented through disorientation to the Word of God. They're oriented to self. And that's where their misery comes. In Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. There is hope for somebody who's living iniquity. There is hope for those who are in kakos evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. How do I depart from evil? How do I depart from thoughts that are initiated by the atmosphere? By the fear of the Lord. I have so much regard, so much respect, and so much fear that I don't want to cross God, that I run to the love of God. That will deliver me from evil. So if I'm in kakos evil, I need to start magnifying the Savior. If I'm in kakos evil, I need to start magnifying grace. If I'm in kakos evil, I need to start magnifying the Word of God. If I'm in kakos evil, I need to start magnifying the love of God. If I magnify those things because I have so much regard for those things, I'll depart from kakos evil. I'll depart from iniquity. I'll depart from self-orientation. I'll depart from roots of bitterness. I'll depart from them. And if I do have iniquity as my frame of reference, mercy and truth will get rid of it. Mercy, because it will not allow me to be condemned. Mercy is based on the blood of the Lamb. Truth, because it'll teach me how to think with the Word of God, thereby living in faith, thereby, in Romans 5:2, entering into grace, which is, in Hebrews 4:16, my government. It's not difficult, but I have to have humility enough to respond to God in faith obedience. But it's not difficult. In Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Is your treasure the things above? Seek first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33. Or is your treasure the things on the earth? If it's the things above, you'll be oriented to the things above. If it's the things of the earth, you'll be oriented to the things of the earth. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, you will reveal it. It'll be what your mouth speaks. It'll be what your mind considers. It'll be what your awareness is interpreting. It'll be the volition's choices. It'll be what the emotions respond to. And it'll be where your identity and your self-image are established. In either case, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. God knows that in the day that you eat of it, Satan said to Eve, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. And then she became a fool. Why? She was no longer oriented to that which would give her joy. She was no longer oriented to that which would give her satisfaction. She was no longer oriented to that which would give her pleasure. She became oriented to self. And she started taking pleasure from the things of self. And then her husband did the same when he ate also. But she could have had joy. So what did God do? God brought in the cross. How did the cross get established? By mercy and truth. I can't in myself pick up a cross. Not being condemned because of mercy will allow me and give me the capacity to take my eyes off myself. Truth will give me the mind of God to think with. The production of that is a practical cross in my life. In other words, the tree of life. Then I live at the tree of life. And at the tree of life, I have all the things that give God's quality of life. In Galatians 2:20, I live the life of God, because iniquity is purged. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.